I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to travel all the way out to Oklahoma and talk to Stephen Ligon. And you're going to get, well, frankly, about, I don't know, 8 conversations in one, because both of us rabbit trailed all the time. So hopefully you'll have your thinking brain on so you can keep up with us. But enjoy this conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hello, viewers and listeners. Oklahoma is in the house. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and... Tell them
it's already
location, how long you've been in real estate. Give them a little bit of the story.
Okay. So I'm Stephen Ligon. I'm in Oklahoma City. I've been in real estate since 2009. I've been a broker since 2016. How much detail do you want about what I've done? How do you want to go with that?
It needs to be told for them to realize that you're not like everybody else that's been on this show. So tell us something about why you got into real estate and what you did before, maybe.
Okay. I got into real estate a little bit because my mom and my aunt were both in real estate before I was. My aunt did it more than my mom did, but had her own little company for a while and has moved out to the lake and is still selling real estate out there. I've gotten a degree in music, vocal music, and was at seminary for about a semester and realized really quickly at seminary that was not the place for me. So I ran quickly. And I was already married. I had to do something. So got into real estate really fast.
So basically you ran away from Greek and Hebrew classes. Apparently those are the sifting classes.
It wasn't Greek and Hebrew. Can I even say the word? It was just a weird vibe. And it was a weird evangelism class that I was like, I don't line up with this quite like I thought I did. See you guys.
Out of whack.
Yeah, we're like diverging points of view.
So your actual degree is in vocal performance?
It is.
I didn't know this. So are you a tenor, a baritone, a bass? What are you?
Tenor.
Really? Because the last time I was singing with the symphony, we decided that God had only made 3 more tenors and there weren't any left in the world. So you're a fake tenor.
I'm a real one.
So we need to put together a quartet because I'm truly an alto, even though I have to sing soprano sometimes. So we have to find a soprano that doesn't wobble and we have to find a bass that can breathe. So as soon as we find those two, we're going to have a quartet.
That's no problem. We can do it.
Because, you know, an alto is but a soprano that can read music.
That is so true. That's the difference between sopranos and altos, just the ability to read music.
And I don't know what the difference is in tenors and basses. Actually, I do. About 100 pounds. Okay, so I have to ask you about, since you're in Oklahoma City, hang on, let me find the cover of it. I don't know why I can't ever see the cover on Kindle. How do you see the cover?
I have no idea.
Now, this is half the challenge of this podcast, that even figure out how to use my own device. So
I just start clicking things.
I know, I'm clicking all the parts, and I guess if I hold it close to the camera, it's this little book here. It's called Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, The Secret Lives of Timothy McVeigh. Have you ever read that one?
Ooh, no.
So a friend of mine had found this book, and he said, if you read this, you will never trust anything ever again. And I said, well, I already have a lot of trust issues, so let me go ahead and read this.
This is a great idea.
It's fascinating, and it's by Wendy Painting. So then you'll appreciate this, being from Oklahoma City. So my son is a senior in high school, and one of his friends is the kid who has just enough shock factor. Did he just say that? But they're AP classes, so it's not like super edgy. So they had to talk about a famous American. So one of his classmates talked about Timothy McVeigh. This is great. And then they had to do independent reading, and this kid brought in the manifesto of the Unabomber.
Whoa, that's taking it another step.
But I guess they didn't pick a rapper, so yeah. Encouraging in that way.
I don't know. This is like a total sidebar, but that's how my brain works. This reminds me of when I was in junior high. So I'm fairly conservative, and I always have been politically. And I had a history teacher who loved Bill Clinton. I mean, this was his guy, and he talked about him so highly. And we had to do a paper and do a presentation in class. And I did mine on Bill Clinton. I included these stories about like Jennifer Flowers and Monica, and I had like overhead slides with like Paula Jones, like her story. That was my presentation in this teacher's class.
What grade did you get in that presentation?
I got an A because I did it right.
Oh, good job.
I hated it because I did what I was supposed to, but I got in there at the same time.
I mean, but Bill Clinton was probably the most talented politician we've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous.
And Monica Lewinsky gave the best TED talk I've ever seen. Did you see her TED talk?
I heard about it.
You got to go sit down and watch it because it's so insightful and fantastic and kind of makes you realize when you consume the media, you're really only consuming what they give to you. And Oh, there was a human on the other side of that media.
Oh, right.
And we went way down the rabbit hole. So anyway, back to
real estate. Sorry about that. Back to that. Okay, back to real estate.
Mom and aunt are in real estate. Yeah. And you said, I'm going to have to serve the Lord somewhere else. And so you decided to serve the
Lord. Yeah, I did. I jumped right in. I did my stuff online really fast. Got my license and took off.
Oh, y'all have licensing in Oklahoma? You could take your class
online? Yeah, you can do it all online.
We didn't have that till the COVID. That was what forced us into online classes.
Wow, Oklahoma's usually behind, so I feel like we were ahead on something.
You advanced, except for your highways. I don't like 35 coming down through Oklahoma's terrible, but anyway.
Nobody likes that. We went to Texas last week, and no, it was a bad drive.
Boom, boom,
boom. Oh, the whole thing. It took us twice as long as it was supposed to because of all the wrecks and things as we got into Dallas. It was a blast.
Exactly. Okay, so anyway, back to real estate.
I probably started it.
We don't have online license. Yeah. You do
your
advanced, and I said you're advanced except for your roads. So that's where we were. So you got your license.
I did. And I got my broker's license online too. You can do it all online. So in 2016, I became a broker. 2017, I became the broker for a large statewide company. EXP was my company for 3 years. And then in 2020, I got cute and decided at the beginning of the year, I was like, I need to back it off a notch because it was kind of Wild West for a little bit with the statewide company. So I decided to start my own thing and be really quiet for a bit. So I did in 2020 at the very beginning, like right before the pandemic came. I was like, let's do this. I'm quitting this and starting my own company. And when I decided, though, to do it quietly and like do my own thing, that doesn't work great in sales. No, you can't really hide in that business. So that's what I tried for a little bit. And I did that to do what I wanted it to ultimately. Independent, it was just me. I didn't try to recruit anybody. I didn't try to get any tools. I was like, leave me alone. I'm going to sell a few houses. Then this year, I just partnered up with Missy Webb and her place team, Webb Group Real Estate. And she is a psychopath like me. And we have the best time doing ridiculous things. So it's fun. I never had the idea of being on a team. I thought, I'm not going to do that. It's like on my list of things that you're not going to do. And then God says, try that. Actually, you are. So that's what I've been doing in real estate. I've been involved with board stuff since 2018. Started on the local Oklahoma City board, was the board president in 2021. Currently I'm not on the board of directors for Oklahoma City. I'm the chair of the broker committee, still involved there. I'm on the state board of directors, professional standards committee there. And I just started at NAR on the strategic planning committee this year. And I have no idea how I got on that committee or why I'm there, but it's fun. It's a good one.
Don't ask, don't tell, because that's a great committee. It's a really impactful one to be on, especially right now with the landscape of real estate looking literally like Wild West, because we don't know what's coming next. But so you were a president in 21. Were you a hybrid president, or were you all the way open your whole presidential year?
We were hybrid. Our building was still mostly shut down, and we did most of our meetings online. And then really it changed the way that we offer board meetings and things. There's almost always still a virtual option to this day because people found it convenient and will show up, you know, or late to a meeting or whatever. They'd rather do virtual, or they're out of town. They can still attend meetings. So it stuck.
So how do you find the interactions with the hybrid? Because for me personally, I have a really hard time because I notice my energy goes to people in the room. And then there's like five people on Zoom and they're ticked off because I forgot about them because they were over there behind a camera, and they're trying to stay engaged throughout, you know, illness and travel and all those other things. And I've not figured out the secret sauce. Have you?
The only thing is a challenge for sure. The one thing that helps with our board meetings is our staff. People are really attentive to that, and they'll say, hey, you know, somebody's got a question, or can we, you know, make sure that they're paying attention to that? Because even chairing it where you're right across the screen from what's going on, like you said, you're focused on the people in the room and listening to that. And the people online a lot of times don't want to interrupt. They'll wait, or they'll push a little hand raisey thing and not just start talking. Like if you were in person, they would probably say something, but they'll sit there and kind of look and wait, as opposed to having to butt in, which you have to do with me sometimes anyway.
I mean, that's fair. We have to do that with any meeting because there can be one person that's trying to control the conversation, and the very thoughtful person has the best idea ever. But
always
they screw it and they just sit back because they're tired of fighting for oxygen. which is back to those challenges. So anyway, you've been in real estate a fairly compressed amount of time to have served in all those capacities. Who sucked you into it the first time, and why did you sign up back in 2018? Is that your mom?
No, it was Becky Karp.
We love Becky.
Yeah, she called me, and I don't remember the full details of it, but there was a position on the board that came open at the end of the year because somebody's other obligations, I don't remember what they were doing, like if they were going to be on as a real estate commission or something where they couldn't finish out their term. And they called me to fill in his term, which I don't remember how much time was left on it. So I did just like a meeting or two at the end of that year. Then I was on the next year, and towards the end of the year, our secretary treasurer, who had been on the board for 5 or 6 years already, she had to step off of the board because we have a rule on our board that if there's more than, I think it's 3 members from a particular brokerage, they can't do that. And so there were some company changes and things that made it so that they were over that limit. And she said, I've been on the longest, I'll take the step down, but we got to get somebody to be the treasurer. And another friend that you know, Carolyn Sims, looked at me during that meeting and gave me the evil eye to tell me to be the secretary treasurer. I was like, okay, sure.
Look, I know her. She probably clutched her heart and acted like she was going to die. Oh, if you didn't say yes, and you had to help.
She's good at that. Yeah, it was her dying wish. It was her dying wish in 2018.
Still is. Carolyn, we see you, girl.
Yeah, she's still alive. She's used that as long as I've known her since for like 11, 12 years, and she's used the old lady dying thing.
She scares the crap out of me, though, because she's out of breath, and then you sit her down, and I came back to find her, and she was gone. I was like, uh-huh, that's what we Okay, so basically, so you were in the room at the wrong time or right time, however you want to look
always,
at it.
And, always.
Hey, Stephen, you just swore it. You say yes.
Always. And I tend to show up in leadership things like that. And I don't intend to take over or take charge, but I tend to go to those positions.
So were you like that your whole life? Did you do student council and Beta Club and all the things to serve?
I did student council. I was in the gifted stuff at school, too. So we did like academic team. But yeah, was involved in lots of things.
Wait a minute, like the Quiz Bowl? Because I was a Quiz Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a little thing.
Even to the Nationals, it was so much fun. There weren't many girls there. And I met this cute boy from Nebraska. I was so excited because I was like, it's a nerd. It's okay to be a nerd. It was so fun.
It was so great.
1,000 years ago. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We had so much fun.
You're a server by nature and keep serving. How have you managed to balance selling some property and service, especially going through brokerage changes when you went from a very large and quickly growing company to the, I'd say it's just survival mode when you go to solo broker, and all you solo brokers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're thinking, Stephen, I hear you, brother, sell a few houses and don't put up with that mess. And then you get lonely and you need the camaraderie, so you land in a different setup altogether. So talk me through how you haven't gone broke while you've gone through all those different changes and how you stayed married through the whole thing too, because that's also a feat.
Yeah, that is a feat. Bless her heart. So I don't know. I think the key that I screwed up several times and I learned by screwing up and then doing things is you've got to continually put yourself back in front of people. And if you forget that, that's when your business starts to go downhill and you think, oh, I'm busy. I've got all these things going on. They'll remember me. They'll always know that I'm doing this. But what I found as I was serving on the board, and they write like a newspaper article when you're president, and my neighbors would come up to me and say, hey, I saw you're doing that. Well, they don't know unless we explain to them that we're not paid to do those things. That's not our job. We spend a lot of time doing it, but that's a volunteer thing, and we still have to sell real estate to make money. And we don't do a very good job of explaining that to people and being proactive about it, saying, hey, you may see these things that I'm doing. I may be, even if I'm the broker of a company, depending on the structure, they may need to understand, and I'm still selling houses. So that's what I've learned, to keep that in front of people constantly. I don't think you can overdo it as far as reminding people consistently about that. I didn't do a great job about that when I came from being the broker of a big company, because I couldn't really sell there. I didn't have time. I was allowed to, but I did not have the time to do it. I just assumed, you know, you jump back in and people are going to come running to you.
Hey. Like a magnet. Hey.
No, it's all new. It's like starting over.
Okay, so I'm having a moment here.
Yeah.
I do a lot of installations of realtor presidents, and I'm finishing out my term right now. We're thanking them for serving, and we celebrate them for their accomplishments, and we're talking in our space like we're talking to other realtors, and I've had to explain to so many regular realtor members, your leadership's not paid. It has never once crossed my mind that it's the public who might read the newspaper. It just never crossed my mind. The bragging that we do is probably being a really big pulling drain on our businesses and we're not even thinking about it.
Yeah, if you're not really careful about it, you know, making the, just tie that in every time that, hey, I've got this, whatever it is, you know, if you're taking pictures of board meetings or taking pictures of where you're at conferences and things, and I'm using this, here's how it comes back to help my clients, or here's how, Steve Reese does a great job of that. You know, he's been involved in lots of stuff, but he's really good about bringing it back. You know, when he goes to whatever event, it's like, here's the value for my clients, here's the value for my community, and constantly putting that in front of people.
And it probably helps that he's married to a professional educator in Sharon, who's always educating, and she might have a hand in that mindset.
She puts up with a lot too. My wife does, and she does.
All right. So looking at the different pieces of real estate that you've been in, whether it's in the brokerage side, the volunteer side, the selling side, the kid of a realtor, the running into real estate as a safety haven for, I don't know what else to do with my life, let me do this. In all those different angles, you have to have seen some kind of story that made you go, wait, what? That's what we want to hear about.
Yeah. So I thought about this and went back and forth on a couple of stories, but this one's pretty fresh. So I'm going to go with a fresh one. And it was just so ridiculous. So it was actually my business partner, Missy Webb, had a property that she was going to list. And it wasn't on the market yet. It was somebody that she was friends with. Like, she knew him from, I don't remember the connection, but she was friends with him on social media. Maybe they were a past client, something. She knew this person. And she was going to list their property for sale. It's close to where I live. And that seller lived like 2 hours away or so in a neighboring town in Lawton.
Are you a real estate professional and struggling to make videos? I know you're watching mine because that's easier than making your own, but you really do wish you had your own YouTube channel and you wish that phone would ring and you would not have to go out and like people that you don't like online. You'd rather have them talk to you. Or do you have a YouTube channel and the videos aren't doing anything and you don't know how they're missing the mark and you haven't found those amazing neighbors who really would love you? Well, you should know that my friend Karen Carr, she teaches you how to make your YouTube videos a true evergreen sales funnel. She will teach you how to make videos that are simple. Aha, you don't have to start from scratch. She will give you the framework. You don't need bells and whistles. You don't need a big fancy videographer. And the best part is, the framework she gives you gets prospects in your zip code calling you when they're ready to buy or sell. And that doesn't happen just today. It happens for the long haul because YouTube is an evergreen strategy. And here's the craziest part about it. She kicks this off with a 3-day challenge. So you can carve out 3 days, and it's not the whole day, by the way. It's just a little bit of time in 3 days in a row. The cost is $27. So $9 and $9 and $9, or basically because of inflation, a pumpkin spice latte, a pumpkin spice latte, and a pumpkin spice latte. So in exchange for 3 of your overpriced, amazing, yummy fall beverages, you could get all the information you need to jack your business for next year. She'll teach you how to set the channel up. She'll teach you how to get viewers to stay with you once they find you. She'll teach you where to do the research, which is probably the best thing I learned from her, to be honest. And she's going to teach you how to make videos that actually create conversation. And all of this is going to jack you in Google without spending a lot of money on Google AdSense. Shh, don't tell Google I said that. But what you should know is that this hot deal challenge right here, $27, 3 days with more information than you can shake a stick at, is at videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, because that's a special deal for y'all. So Video Boss Agent, so videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, one word, to get signed up. I've taken the class more than once. I'm promising y'all, it is absolutely worth it. And if you're looking for the answer to make 2024 a different kind of real estate business, this is exactly where you want to be. I'll see you there.
So they're getting ready to sell the house. The neighbor finds out that they're going to sell the house. And so he contacts Missy and says, hey, I heard you're going to sell the house. Is there a way we can look at it ahead of time? And if we work out a deal, those kinds of things. He was like, I'm familiar with the property. It should be super straightforward. I want to pay cash because I'm going to build on this. I'm going to knock this house down. The house is a dump. I'm going to knock it down.
It's always easy.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just so easy. You don't even have to put the house on the market. You're just signing a contract. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. So the way that our team does things is whenever there's a situation like that where there's a seller and the buy side, we typically will have another person on the team handle one or the other, just so that we don't even have like the perception of doing something crazy like that. So we're really careful. So it was supposed to be super simple. He didn't do like inspections. It was as is, ready to go, right? It was like a 2.5 week or 3 week closing because it was cash. It was great. So easy. So we get to the day of closing, and there was a little issue with some like junk that was still in the property, and we worked through that on closing day because there was some personal property and like a smelly refrigerator and those kind of things that we knew were there, but she didn't want to get rid of. So we got that all negotiated out and had that handled. I was waiting in the lobby of the title company, and Missy was with the seller and back signing the documents with the closer. And I'm sitting there just kind of waiting for things to happen. And the closer comes out and she looks kind of panicked. She kind of passed me, like turned the corner and went down the hallway towards her office and kind of looked over me. I was like, is everything okay? And she said, I'm like, we've got a pretty serious issue, and just like took off down the hall. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I don't know what's going on, but they're trying to figure it out. So she goes back to do whatever she does. Then she came out and went back into the closing room and was in there for a while. And I think that the way how it all worked out, but ultimately she came back out the lobby and was talking to me, telling me what had happened. So the seller did something, finished up some stuff, and the seller takes off. And I'm like, okay, I guess they're done. So I guess they worked it out and it's done. After she left, the closer came over to me and she was like, can I just say something? And she said, this is the weirdest shit that I've ever dealt with. She's very careful. And I said, okay, so what's the deal? And she said, well, apparently the seller, as we were signing documents, they signed that she has to verify. It says, are you single or married? And we thought she was a single person this whole time because that's the way the property was titled. And that's her name was the same. And we knew her as a single person. So we thought, hey, this is a single person. When she asked her that, she said, I'm not sure how to answer that. And the closer said, well, either you aren't. What's the question? And she said, well, I'm not sure if I'm actually still married or not. She said, okay, so is it like a pending divorce or what's going on? And she said, no, he's in prison. Yeah, obviously. Why wouldn't he be? So then the closer said, but did you get a divorce, you know, at some point before he went into prison or what? And she said, no, I just thought maybe that we weren't legally married anymore. So in Oklahoma, we had the thing where one person can buy property. And if you're married, the spouse owns the property, unless you do something very specific to not have that happen, or you have, you know, like a prenuptial contract or something that specifies how the property is going to be handled, or it's in a trust or bizarre things. If you don't do certain things, the spouse is automatically half owner of the property and they have to sign to sell the house. So he should have signed all the contracts and listing documents too. Obviously he didn't, because we were at closing and didn't know he existed. So what the closer had done, whenever she went flying out of the room, she went to the phone and she asked what prison he was in. It was a local, I mean, not local. It was only a couple hours away in their hometown in Lawton also. And she goes flying out and she called the prison and she said she told the whoever she talked to what was going on and asked if they had an email address and if they had a computer, you know, so they could do like a mobile. And if they had, is there any way to do that? And she said, and the person, yeah, we have an email address, but we're not allowed to give it to you. It's prison. So then she says, you have a notary, and it's a prison. This never occurred to me because I've never been in prison. They usually have a notary on site because they have things that people have to sign. So they did have a notary. She says, okay, it's like 2 hours away. Mrs. Seller, would you take these documents down to the incarcerated husband and get them signed for us and get them notarized and bring them back? And she did. That was her job. She took off and drove to Lawton. And how you do that? Is it like you talk to him through the, I want to know like what that looked like now.
Right. It's like how much of the little program is accurate? Yeah, and it's made up from the wire. Yeah.
I don't know. So they got it done. And then I asked the closer, I was like, how did you know, like, have you done this before? She said, oh yeah, I've had this happen before. Okay.
I have all the prisons on speed dial. No big deal.
Yeah. No big deal. I knew exactly how to do it. I just thought, I guess it's happened, obviously, but it would have never occurred to me, first of all, how you would get there, right? What information did we miss? And that's what we kept going back to. Like, how did we miss this? Was there a sign that we should have seen?
I mean, if the name matches the title, then...
Yeah, and she acts like it's you got the right way. Yeah, and where she didn't even know if she was married or not, even if we'd asked, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. I don't know.
Well, let's be fair. If you'd asked and she said, I'm not sure, you might have had a little go off.
Yeah. We'll probably add that to I think we have added that to some of our intake information is, are you married? But they asked that with the title company questionnaire too. It says, are you married? And they ask several times throughout the process. It's not like it's, I don't know, weird. There again, that's that situation where it seemed like it was something that was going to be so simple and so easy and really quick.
Ever.
What the hell just happened to me?
Look, those are always the transactions where you're on eggshells because you're like, something's going to happen. It's going to be
too easy. It's
every
too
time.
Easy.
I don't know why she thought her marriage would be over just because he was locked up. I mean, there's a lot of people with locked up spouses, I think.
And the other part of that is she was apparently looking at houses with somebody else that she's planning to marry. She was already doing that.
Oh, well, might be good for him that now we can get rid of the first husband.
I would think so. Maybe just do it all at once. Since we're here, let's go ahead and take care of it all.
We're going to sell the house. We're going to get divorced so I can get remarried.
We're going to get remarried and buy a house. We'll do it all at one place. We do it all.
The dead giveaway that you're in Oklahoma, by the way, was when you're like, yeah, it's only a couple hours away. We'll drive across the state. No big deal. We'll come right back.
It's in like the southwest corner of the state through some mountains. It's a couple hours. It's fine. You can be at that prison.
What's that near? Near New Mexico?
Texas.
Oh, that's right. Where the southwest corner. Oh, that's in the soup pot. Okay, so not a bit.
Yeah, a little bit of New Mexico that we touch up there.
Look, now I'm embarrassing myself with my bad geography, but it's all right. I don't live there.
Okay,
no, you don't. You do change your processes when you run into something like this.
Yes.
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
But it's also
another one where we did that too recently.
To all of our viewers, you should probably have paperwork for your marital dealings. Ah,
absolutely. And always ask. Maybe ask more than once, you know? Are you sure?
Are you sure you're married? Sure.
Maybe even, have you ever been married? And when did that end? And how did that end? I don't know.
What's funny is, like, I'm looking at my little sheet here, and I quit calling it spouse because so many people are not married, but they live together, or they're buying with the bestie or whatever. And I've got decision maker here, but I guess I better ask my spouse because there's legal piece to marriage that is wonderful, and then it's awful, depending on which direction your marriage is going in.
Yeah, it could present an issue. And I wonder, too, because the way that they'd have to issue the money in our state anyway, the money has to go to however it's listed, whoever was on title. Since they were both on title, the money had to go to both of them.
Oh.
Unless they signed something, you know, maybe they signed something there to do that. And I don't know if he could even receive money in prison. I don't know how that works.
I've not been to jail. Do you have a separate jail bank account? I know people give them money for, like, cigarettes and stuff, but maybe that's just on TV too.
Like an in-house account.
can you bake the proceeds from a house into a cake with a nail file and sneak it through the bars? Is that how things go now?
I think so. I think that's the way that it's done.
I mean, I did watch the Murdoch trials on Netflix in South Carolina. Did you watch that program?
I did not.
He's that lawyer in Colleton County that was accused of killing his wife and son to hide his son's shenanigans. And I guess his wife was going to leave him or something. So I made my husband watch the whole program, and he did not appreciate me watching a program with him where the husband killed the wife and kid. And I'm like, it's somebody else's life. We're just interested because it's South Carolina. And he was like, I can't sleep at night watching this. And I was like, well, then you're way too delicate because true crime shows are beautiful. But anyway, back to that. So I don't know what the Murdoch trials in Colleton County, South Carolina have to do with this, except that he went broke while he was in jail and they sold off all his belongings. So I guess he probably couldn't have a bank account if they had to sell off his belongings.
Maybe not. Was it federal prison? Maybe there's a difference.
Oh, I really don't know. I think it was South Carolina prison, but maybe it was federal. I don't know what happens when you're convicted of killing your wife and your son.
I don't either.
I guess I'm glad I don't know that, because that's beyond the scope of real estate. And the code of ethics says we shouldn't operate outside our scope. So this
that is way outside the scope.
Complete speculation based on Netflix programs.
We are not attorneys. We do not speculate about prison. No, nothing. We just do what we do.
We pretend to be attorneys, and that's why we're very glad to have a very good statewide contract package here in North Carolina from the North Carolina Realtors, so that paperwork is very uniform. It's very helpful when you're not an attorney. Although I thought about going back to law school, because I think we need a fresh crop of lawyers that don't speak in lawyer talk. I think I could make things
kind of
simple. Pretty sure. All right. So give advice. If realtors are watching this and need a piece of your knowledge, what would you drop on realtors? And then on the other hand, if a regular person is listening to or watching my program because they're just fascinated by real estate, what's the one thing the regular person should know about real estate from your perspective, either or audience?
Okay. This may be for both, actually, but I'm going to start with the realtors. Keep giving to people, giving to your friends, giving to your family, giving to your community. If you take things with that approach, it does come back to you. I don't know how that works, but it does. So whether it's serving volunteer things or just in general, take that approach of, I'm here to serve these people. You can be a leader, you know, and you can be an aggressive leader, and you can do it with service to others. And that applies to both. I think some advice for general people that are thinking about real estate or that are like looking at things and going, what the hell's going on in real estate right now? Well, you know, I've been in a while and you've been in a while, and I think we have some of that, what the hell's going on in real estate right now.
Absolutely. We're not really sure either, but here we are.
Yeah, people ask all the time, what's it like? And the answer that I get from other people in other places and that I've been given a lot of people is it's weird because the market is such that we still have really limited inventory in most places, but the interest rates are weird and giving people some problems that they're not sure what to deal with. So the inventory is starting to let up a little bit and we're starting to get a few more months and we're starting to see some kind of shifty things. But I don't know that it's ever going to go extreme the other direction or not in the near future. I wouldn't see it that will just all of a sudden swing to like this buyer's market with all these hot deals for everybody. That's not coming for a while. I don't know anybody who thinks that that is because of the inventory situation. That's the big thing. You know, ultimately, it comes down to, even if there's other factors, it comes down to supply and demand. And if we don't have enough houses, we're always going to have this push for things. So it's just a strange kind of market that we're in. And I would say to work with people, whether it's realtors, builders, lenders, that are creative right now, you know, because if there are things you can do on the finance side to help people, I worked with a builder recently that offered a huge interest rate buy down by using their preferred lender. And my clients got a 4.375 30-year conventional loan with this incentive on a $500,000 house.
Four?
Yeah.
0.375?
Yes. 30 years fixed? Not a bar? No, it was nothing. And people are like, well, how the hell did they do that? Where are they making that up? Well, they got the money when it was cheap. They borrowed whatever money they did that they're using for to fund these loans now. They borrowed it when it was 2%. So now they can make money at those rates and they can offer those incentives and be able to do it. Same thing with your sellers, you know, offer buy downs and things like that, creative incentives instead of just coming off the price because that may be more valuable to people right now.
Totally true and all very accurate stuff. I do love that description of it all being just weird because it's not good or bad. There's no determination. It's just, we don't really know what's coming next. No. All we know is that people would like to have the American dream and that's our job is to jump into that creative side and go figure it out. All right, Stephen, if somebody's looking for an Oklahoma City contact or they just want to talk to you about general Oklahoma real estate stuff, what's the best way for them to find you?
I am on Facebook at my name, and I think my handle on there is OKC Steven, so that's pretty easy. My cell phone, 405-314-8843, is always available. Those are my things.
Well, it shouldn't be always available. You cut it off when it's date night, right? Or when you're doing
something. Absolutely. Hey, we do have Thursday night date night. We've had it for a long time, regularly. We turn things off, and whether it's going to our bedroom and watching stupid TV together or we actually go do something, whatever it is, that's our time.
That's a good piece of advice for your real estate and consumer friends, too, is carve out
stuff
with the person you love and make it valuable. And if you want to watch the Murdoch trials on Netflix, it's very interesting. And Steve Brown does not recommend it, but Lee Brown does. And so just for the record. All right. All of Stephen's contact information is in the show notes for this episode, friends, because I know y'all are now forgetting to have written down that number and you want a backspace to get to it and you keep skipping it. Don't worry. Just click and write it down. And Stephen, thank you so much for all you're doing in the organized real estate space for service and for being really honest with us about having to jump around to find the best place for you. And Missy, we're glad you adopted him. Good job. And we're glad to have you on the show. So if you guys want to say something nice about Stephen, drop it in the comments here. Give him a like on this episode. And most importantly, come visit us back over here again where we'll talk about more things you've never heard of before.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.